90.5 WKAR in Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. Glad you could join us today. Movies often portray the Old West as a lawless place, and the assumption is that today those places no longer exist. But in 2005, an MSU law professor discovered a loophole in the Sixth Amendment that could allow for potential lawlessness in a remote sliver of land in Yellowstone National Park. At that time, Professor Brian Cault wrote about the loophole in an article for the Georgetown Law Review called The Perfect Crime, and he referred to this 50-square-mile patch of Idaho as the Zone of Death. The article attracted major attention at the time and still attracts attention today, yet the loophole remains unchanged. Professor Brian Cault joins us to explain. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Set this up for a layperson as best you can, Brian. How could the perfect crime be committed in this small patch of land?
Okay, so the Sixth Amendment has a requirement in it that the jury in a federal criminal trial has to be from the state and district where the crime was committed. And the districts that they're talking about are federal judicial districts. And usually most states are just one district, like the District of South Carolina is South Carolina. Some states are divided up into two or more districts. We're in the Western District of Michigan right now. Detroit is in the Eastern District. So saying that you have to be getting the jurors from the state and district where the crime was committed is usually no problem. You just get them from the right district and you're fine. The problem with this patch of Idaho is that the District of Wyoming, uniquely among all the districts, crosses state lines because it includes all of Yellowstone National Park. Part of Yellowstone is in Idaho, part of it's in Montana. So if you're in the Idaho portion of Yellowstone and you commit a crime, it would be a federal crime. The state has no jurisdiction there. They can't prosecute you. If you commit a crime there, the jury has to be from the state and district where the crime was committed. The state would be Idaho. The district would be the District of Wyoming. So the jurors would have to be from the Idaho portion of Yellowstone. But nobody lives there. So they couldn't give you a trial that follows the Sixth Amendment requirement.
How might the loophole be fixed? What have you been proposing?
Well, the simplest thing to do would be just to redraw the lines like every other district and say the District of Wyoming is Wyoming, the District of Idaho is Idaho, the District of Montana is Montana. That would fix it very easily just by doing that. There are some other ways around it where they might be able to prosecute people, and so they might not want to fix it. So the easiest way to get a conviction in a certain case might be to find some charge that you did something somewhere else, or you conspired to commit your crime in some other district, or one of the elements of the crime were somewhere else. But fixing it would just be as simple as making this district like every other district in the country.
And that would rest with the U.S. Congress?
Yes.
Then?
They wouldn't have to amend the Constitution, just pass a simple statute. And if they wanted to do it, it would be very simple. The hard part is getting them to want to do it.
Do congressional leaders from Wyoming and Idaho express any interest in this? Or to what extent has anyone in Congress expressed any interest in correcting this?
Well, Congress, as a general matter, is not interested in fixing hypothetical problems. They usually wait until something actually happens. They wait until powerful interest groups are agitating for things. And that doesn't really apply here. So there was not much interest in it. When the article first came out, I could not really get their attention. Their representative from that part of Idaho, Mike Simpson, went on record as saying that he wasn't worried if a crime occurred there. He wasn't worried because he said, first of all, that the state would be able to prosecute, which is just simply not true. I mean, it's just very clear as a matter of federal law, state law, the state has no jurisdiction. And then he said, well, the judicial system would prevail. They would find some way to remedy the murder should it occur. He didn't have a legal argument. And I'm not sure how you remedy a murder once it's occurred. Far better to prevent it by just redrawing the lines. There was a novel written based on this by C.J. Box called Free Fire, part of his Joe Pickett series, which have gotten really popular lately. But this this novel got the attention of Senator Enzi from Wyoming. And he read the novel, and he got very interested in fixing this. And at that point, I was talking to people on his staff, and I went from not having anyone pay attention to me to having people explain to me why they weren't going to do anything about it. Enzi wanted to fix it. He went to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice said that they didn't want to fix it. And Senator Enzi, while he was interested in fixing it, didn't want to spend precious political capital on what was, after all, still a hypothetical issue. It's very hard to get anything passed in Congress. And if the Justice Department's against it, then that's going to make it even harder.
This all seems to suggest that a truly serious crime has never been committed in this area. Is that the case?
To my knowledge, there haven't been any crimes that have been prosecuted. It's a fairly remote part of the park. People do go there, but it's cut off from the rest of the park. There's no road from the rest of the park that goes there. It's maybe tens of thousands of people go there per year versus the millions that go to the rest of the park. So I'm not aware of any crimes having occurred, and frankly, I'm glad. I wrote the article with the hopes of getting this fixed. And if I'd known that 11 years later, it would still not be fixed, maybe I would have thought about keeping it more quiet. Mm.
Were you ever worried that your writing would encourage someone to commit a crime like murder in this area?
Absolutely. When the article was accepted by the Georgetown Law Journal, I asked them if they could put it in the last issue of the volume because I wanted to try to get it fixed. And so that gave me about a year. And I thought that would be the best way to do it, to quietly notify the people who could do something about this and quietly fix it. Once that failed, the only way to get it done at that point was through getting attention. And that's what I've been trying to do since then. But you walk a tightrope there, getting enough attention to get it fixed without getting so much attention that you encourage someone to put theory into practice. I tell people, though, there are a lot of limits on the theory. You still face civil liability. The theory might not work. I have some reasons in the article why a court might interpret the Sixth Amendment to not mean what it says. But the main reason is that so many people have read this article. If you think you're going to go out to that part of Yellowstone and commit a crime, you should be aware that someone else probably has the same idea and he's bigger than you.
How discouraged have you become over this process, over talking about this and getting so little response?
I think for me, the worst part of it was not that I was disabused of any lofty notions I had of how a bill becomes a law. I mean, I know it's hard to get things through Congress. I think that the thing that bothered me the most was when the Justice Department told Senator Enzi that they didn't want to fix it, it wasn't because they thought I was wrong. They had two main reasons, and both of them were very discouraging to me. Their first reason was that they said, if we redraw the lines here, then part of Yellowstone will be in the District of Idaho, part will be in the District of Montana. Wyoming, where it is now, the District of Wyoming, is in the 10th Circuit. So federal appeals go to the 10th Circuit in Denver. The districts of Idaho and Montana are in the 9th Circuit. So the Justice Department's reason for not fixing this criminal law loophole, this beacon to would-be criminals, was that if they put part of the park in the 9th Circuit, then environmentalists would appeal park management decisions to the 9th Circuit, which is more liberal, instead of the 10th Circuit. And see, that's a bad reason on 2 points. One, it's very simple to just specify that the appeals would still go to the 10th Circuit. The Sixth Amendment only applies to criminal cases, and there's nothing inherent in this that would require this to go to the 9th Circuit. And the second reason is there are already cases from Yellowstone that go to the 9th Circuit. So I don't know what that reasoning emerged from, but it was enough to stop Senator Enzi because, again, you don't want to have to go up against the Justice Department over what is still a hypothetical issue. The second reason they had was more discouraging, and that is they expressed some confidence that even though that is what the Sixth Amendment requires, that they would still be able to get a conviction. And to me, that is both legally incorrect. They said it would be what's called harmless error. There are certain errors that you can make in a trial that if it doesn't affect the outcome, right, you're still guilty, then the court will just not worry about it. But there's a whole other category of errors where they won't say that. They'll say it doesn't matter if it affected the outcome or not. You have this right, and it is a violation, and so the trial is overturned. And legally, it's fairly clear to me that this would be in that second category, where they wouldn't say it's just a harmless error. But even if it is, for the Justice Department to say in advance, if a case ever comes up, we intend to commit this error, right? We know that the Constitution requires something, but we're going to get it wrong. But don't worry, it's harmless. Instead of just fixing it, that was bothersome to me.
I'm speaking with MSU law professor Brian Kalt, who discovered there's an area of Yellowstone National Park where if a crime were committed, a loophole in the Sixth Amendment could prevent someone from being tried for the crime. You alluded to the novel by C.J. Box that used the zone of death as a plot device. What can you tell us about what happens there and how you respond to all of that?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but in the novel, he has it's crime fiction. It's not a mystery. You know right away that the killer is this guy who's a lawyer. He kills some people in the Idaho portion of Yellowstone, and he turns himself in and then uses the loophole to go free. And I don't want to spoil too much about it, but just to say that there's more to the case than meets the eye, and all sorts of interesting things happen. But what was great about the novel, besides the attention that it brought to the issue, was that C.J. Box knows Wyoming like the back of his hand. He knows Yellowstone intimately. And so the one nagging thought that I had was, well, maybe this really is so remote that no one goes there, but he knows. People do go there.
And you went there.
Oh, no. I went to Yellowstone.
Oh, okay.
To help with the promotion of the book, to explain the legal issues. And when we were there, they said, hey, why don't we go to the Idaho portion and take some pictures? And I'm not going to tempt fate that badly.
How interesting. Well, how did you first discover there was a loophole in the first place? How did you stumble onto this?
Well, I think this happens with a lot of loopholes. What happens is there's a constitutional provision or a legal provision that is just sort of forgotten. And in this case, it was the Sixth Amendment provision saying where the jury has to be from. Saying that the jury has to be from the state and district where the crime is committed is completely uncontroversial, so people don't pay any attention to it. It's one of the few rights in the Bill of Rights that hasn't been applied against the states. It's just sort of a forgotten part of the Sixth Amendment. There's another part that requires that the district lines be the ones that were in place when the crime was committed. So you can't go back after the fact and redraw the lines and try someone. But even that part hasn't really been tested in court. There's maybe one or two cases from 100 years ago. So I was writing about something else. I was writing about a certain sort of state statute, like we have one in Michigan like this. The Michigan statute says, if you commit a crime within 1 mile of the county line, they can try you in either county. And I'm from the Detroit area, and there was a case from 8 Mile Road, and it mattered very much in that case whether there was a Ferndale jury or a Detroit jury, and they used this statute, and they got a Ferndale jury, even though the crime was in Detroit. And that really bothered me, and I was writing an article about these statutes and about how important it is that the jury be from the right place. And I kept coming across these references to this District of Wyoming, across state lines. And they said, but this is of no consequence. And I said, I know, it is of consequence. And so I turned what was a footnote in that article into the perfect crime.
We've been speaking with MSU law professor Brian Kalt about a loophole in the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution that could allow the perfect crime to be committed in a small area of Idaho. He first discovered and wrote about the loophole over 10 years ago. It has still not been changed. Brian Kalt, thanks for joining us.